Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call of Poly Medicure Limited to provide an update on the proposed acquisition by the company of City FE Group. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Gautam, President, Strategy and Corporate Development at Poly Medicure Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Rahul Gautam.
Thank you, Sagar, and good evening to everyone on the call. We appreciate you being here to discuss about our second acquisition in the month of September of City FE. Before I jump into discussing this acquisition, I would also like to inform the participants that we closed the PendraCare acquisition on 23rd of September. From that day onwards, PendraCare has now formally become part of Polymed Group, and we are excited to have them as part of the Polymed Group. Moving on to the acquisition of City FE, you might have seen the presentation, the press release that was released yesterday on the occasion of signing of the share purchase agreement between Polymed BV, which is a subsidiary of Polymed, with the selling shareholders of Medistream, which is a Swiss corporation. Over the next 5 to 10 minutes, I will briefly talk about our rationale for this acquisition and give you an overview of City FE Group, and then open it up for Q&As that you might have. Starting with the macro picture, orthopedics is obviously a large segment in the overall medical devices sector. It's about $61 billion, growing at about 3%-4%. Within that, trauma and extremity is the largest segment at about $12 billion, and it's growing the fastest, about 6%-7%. U.S. is the biggest market. Like all medical devices segment, orthopedic also is dominated by U.S., with almost 67% of sales in orthopedics being done in U.S., followed up by Europe. APAC is the fastest growing segment. Within that, India is the third largest market behind China and Japan. India contributes close to 3% of global orthopedic market. The space is fairly consolidated, with the top five players having almost 60% of market share. Despite that, there are a number of local players in each geographies who, through innovative products and servicing of their customers, been able to build strong businesses locally, and that's where City FE also sort of fits in and positions quite well. As I mentioned, trauma and extremity is the largest and the fastest growing segment, but it's also very resilient. If you look at the trajectory of orthopedic space, during COVID, the fall in the trauma space was the least, because this is a segment where you cannot delay the treatment. Unlike in case of elective situations like knee and hip replacements, it's a fairly resilient sector, and growth has been fairly consistent pre-COVID and post-COVID as well. Just on the trauma and extremity, the geographical spread is also similar to overall orthopedic, with U.S. having close to 65% of the overall market, Europe having close to 17%, and balance being contributed by rest of the world. I'll just move on to now giving you an overview of City FE. It's a company which was set up in 1962 in Italy, so it's been around for a very long time. They are a vertically integrated manufacturer specializing in trauma and extremity products. Their products are fully MDR certified in Europe and have accreditation in the key market of U.S. as well as other key Latin American markets. In terms of manufacturing capability and location, it's based in Bologna, Italy. They operate close to 2,100 sq m of manufacturing facility in the city of Bologna, and it's currently at 60% capacity utilization, and with the ability to add third shift to the business, there is significant headroom available to serve the customers through this facility. Just talking about the key strengths of the company. It's an integrated business model, so you know, right from product R&D to product development, manufacturing, you know, distribution, the entire piece is completely controlled by the company, which makes them very, very interesting. Again, for a company of this size to have direct sales presence in the markets of Italy, US and Mexico is quite credible. And they've been able to grow in each of these markets on a fairly long time. As I said, you know, they have very strong KOL relationships. That's another important differentiator when they compared with the global players. Their agility in terms of product development, in terms of being able to meet the market needs at a much faster speed is what differentiates them and makes them sort of competitive in the market. They have 45 patents with 6 R&D team members, and they intend to launch 3 to 5 new products every year, which is something they have been doing in the past. Exceptional quality, you know, very low complaint rates that the company has had in the history, with, you know, complaint rate of 0.001%, which again becomes a huge differentiator in the minds of the surgeons to be able to use their products. As I mentioned, the product is fully MDR compliant. One of the few companies of this size who've been able to get all their products certified in the EU and the new MDR regulations, and have accreditation in US and other 25 plus markets. Moving to on the financial performance of the company, in the year 2024, the company delivered a revenue of close to 17.3 million, which delivered a 15% growth on year-on basis, and EBITDA of about 3.1 million, which is a year-on growth of 14%. I'm also very pleased to inform that the existing management team, which has been around for a long time, is continuing to, has joined the Polymed Group and is going to be driving the future growth. Mr. Pascal Govi, who has been the CEO of the company since 2019, will continue to remain the CEO and build the business with the help of Polymed Group. We truly believe that we have a fantastic team led by Mr. Pascal Govi, and we do think that with the help of Polymed Group, much greater growth can be achieved by this company over the course of the next few years. Moving on to transaction overview, we are acquiring 100% of the company from the selling shareholders of Medistream. One of the key shareholders of Medistream was Archimed, which is a European private equity fund focused on healthcare. They own close to 66% of the company, and balance was held by multiple other selling shareholders. So we are taking 100% in Medistream, which is a Swiss corporation which holds all other companies under it, including CTF ESRL, which is the company, main company where you have the manufacturing facilities and the R&D facilities located. We are valuing the company an equity valuation of about 18.8 million euros, and we'll be repaying shareholder loan of about 4.2 million as part of the closing. So that's a 23 million payout that will happen on closing, and we're taking over a debt of about 8 million. So that values the company at about 31 million enterprise value, which on the basis of reported EBITDA of 2024 values the company at about 10x EV by EBITDA. Moving on to why this asset and why this space, as I said, orthopedic is a large segment, growing segment. The underlying growth drivers well in place for the orthopedic sector. And so it gives us access to a very large part of the medical devices implant segment. Second one, as I said, it's a very differentiated product portfolio. You know, to have a implant approved in UMDR is a big achievement for a company like CityAPI, and to have presence in the strategic market of US with direct sales presence in those markets and having access to surgeons there is a huge advantage. They have very strong position in the market they're operating in Italy. They're the second largest player with about 12% market share. In Mexico, again, they have close to 12% market share amongst the top players in those markets. And US, they are slowly, gradually increasing their presence and getting greater coverage of the hospitals. You know, the fact that it's an integrated business with end-to-end capabilities from R&D to marketing and sales with direct sales presence in markets is a huge advantage. We believe that the asset has good amount of growth potential going forward. It's been growing, you know, if you look at slightly longer term trajectory at 10 to 12% CAGR, with the help of Polymed and our distribution network, we should be able to, you know, double the business in next 5 years. This obviously includes the synergies that Polymed Group will bring on the table. You know, one of the most nearest sort of synergy that we see is to introduce plates as part of the product portfolio, something which has been missing in the company's portfolio currently. This talking about the synergies, right? One, I've already touched based on the fact that the product portfolio expansion in the near term in plates and in the medium to long term to enter other segments of the orthopedic space is clear an opportunity. U.S. expansion is an important part of our growth journey. As I said, it's a big market. 60% market is in U.S. It's a fairly high-paying market. The realizations in U.S. are significantly higher than other parts of the world. So your ability to go and cater to that market by expanding your sales reps and increasing your sales presence in those markets could be hugely value accretive. Another opportunity is obviously outsource part of manufacturing process in India, which can make products more competitive and supply to markets which are more cost competitive or cost sensitive. And that's where Polymed can come in and create significant value for CTFE as well as for the group. Obviously, an opportunity to build a BU or business unit in India for direct sales in the Indian market for CTFE products. We are evaluating those opportunities. India is a very attractive market for orthopedic space. It's been going quite well with domestic companies taking market share away from the MNC. We believe with a differentiated portfolio of CTFE, we could further increase the presence of the local companies in that market. The other opportunity is obviously to expand distribution network in other parts of the world where CTFE currently doesn't have presence. So these are some of the synergies that I see, and we are quite excited about having CTFE join Polymed Group. Just to complete my opening remarks, this transaction starts the journey for Polymed in the orthopedic space. This is a new adjacency within the medical devices space which Polymed has entered into on top of cardiology, critical care and renal care that we have entered in the last 5 to 7 years. We believe that orthopedic is a very attractive space with significant growth potential over the course of next many, many years. And we believe that CTFE is the right kind of platform for us to use and expand in that space. With that, I finish my opening remarks and open up for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star and then one. Participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our first question comes from the line of Vishal Manchanda from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Would you be able to disclose the gross margins of the acquired company?
Yeah, so the gross margins of the company are in excess of 90% plus in this space.
Okay. And would we kind of will need to invest in production capacities to kind of take the business forward from here?
You mean in Italy?
So what kind of capex will require to kind of expand the business from here? So the production capacities basically.
Yeah, so I think there is a reasonable amount of capacity that's available to sort of fund the growth need, at least in the near term. We don't expect any significant capex to be done. The regular capex for this company is between 1.5 to 2 million a year.
Okay, and what's the gross block, physical gross block in value terms?
The gross, I have the net block number, that's about 5 million euros.
Okay, got it. And the immediate priority would be to build presence in India. Is that the right assumption?
No, I think the most nearest opportunity of synergy is to add plates as a product. Just that you understand, in trauma, nails, screws, plates go hand in hand, and in lot of public tenders, you can participate only if you have a comprehensive portfolio, which basically means that the TFE currently is not able to participate in some of the tenders because they don't have plates. So that seems to be the nearest opportunity. We will evaluate the India angle as we go deeper with the management, both from a distribution perspective, because you understand we don't have direct sales in India for orthopedic just till now. So that's something which will take time.
Okay. And would you be able to kind of share some color on how this company is different from, so you would know recently Zydus acquired a French company in the same space. So is this a similar company to the French company, or yeah, there are differences?
Yeah, so obviously they are in the larger orthopedic space, like CTFE, but their main product is knee implant. But CTFE is into, as I said, trauma and extremity segment, which is, you know, is into nails and nails, screws and instrumentation.
Okay. And this trauma and extremities itself is a $16 billion global market.
Yeah, I think it's currently $12 billion and expected to go to $16 billion in the next few years.
Okay. And in terms of the product portfolio, you said we'll be kind of introducing 2 to 3 products every year. So currently in terms of addressing the market, what portfolio we have, like do we have 20% of the portfolio in trauma and extremities, or we have 30%? If you can give some sense, like
that, Vishal, it's basically, you know, when you say 3 to 5 new products, you could also be in the same product just adding a new feature, which makes it differentiated from what's available in the market. So R&D is a continuous process, like the way it's happening in Polymed, we're introducing new products on a yearly basis. So they have a fairly good coverage from a trauma perspective when it comes to nails, and they cover most of the bones that are, you know, that get impacted by sort of trauma events. But, you know, plates, which is again almost 40% of the overall trauma market, I'm just talking very macro numbers, you know, that's a piece of product which is currently missing from the portfolio.
Okay. And are there any Indian players into this space who are kind of manufacturers?
Yeah, I mean, there are, obviously, I think all geographies have multiple local manufacturers, and so does India. India has a fairly large base of manufacturers who are operating in this space.
Okay. So would you kind of consider kind of shifting your manufacturing to India? Would that make sense in this kind of situation?
We have currently no such plans. I think the facility there is doing a very good job, and you know the customers, they know the product being manufactured in Europe. So we currently have no plans to move the manufacturing to India.
Understood. Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Karan Gupta from Acmil. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi. Good afternoon. So my first question on the gross margin, you said 90% is CTFE. And the EBITDA margin is around 17 to 18.
Karan, we can't hear you well. There seems to be some disturbance behind you.
Just a second. Now I think it's
yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
So the gross margin you said 90%, 90. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So gross margin is 90% and EBITDA margin is 17% to 18%. So what's the operating cost here taking major share?
Obviously, the gross margin is basically the the cost of material that is there. Obviously, labor cost on top, the sales cost, the marketing cost is all of that, plus the corporate overheads is all that between the gross margin and EBITDA margin.
Okay. So basically, overhead cost is basically the higher portion.
Not just overhead cost, but also the other parts of manufacturing, which is labor and other manufacturing cost. Because that's how the gross margin is reported, right? Gross margin is your cost of goods sold.
After gross margin, the difference between gross margin and EBITDA, just saying your labor cost and all, manufacturing cost is basically the part.
Plus sales cost, right? Because the company has direct sales presence, so even the cost of sales, marketing, all of that is covered through gross margin.
Okay. And going forward, what asset turn you are expecting?
Sorry?
No, it is around more than 3. Fixed asset turn.
Currently, as I said, there is significant amount of headroom available to grow the business within the current facility without significant capex required. So it is possible that we could do significantly higher revenue from here where we are today without adding much capex. As I said, between 1.5 to 2 million of capex is done as it is in the business. That also includes instrumentation, just that you know, because for trauma you also need instruments which are provided to the surgeons for undertaking the surgery. So I think without any significant capex, we can double the revenue in next 5 years.
Okay. Without significant capex, you are saying.
Yeah.
Okay. And is it possible to take the margin, EBITDA margin, from 17-18% to our blended margins around 25-26%?
Well, early to guidance, to provide guidance on how the margins will expand. I think it's very clear that there is an operating leverage play that will happen in this company as the sales increase. So far company has been operating in a constrained environment and obviously did not have place as a product portfolio. Now for us to expand revenue from current 17-18 million revenue to 25 to 30 million revenue doesn't require significant increase in fixed costs. So that flow through of margin from gross margin to EBITDA should be better as the revenue increases from where it is today.
Okay. So what was your value proposition to the promoter of this company that how that you wanna turn around or maybe take the leverage of your distribution channels and networks? So what was the value proposition here?
I think
European market.
This is not a space where Polymed has been operating in the past. So it's, in a way, it's a platform for us to enter into a space which Polymed did not have sort of presence in. So that's very important to understand. Obviously, we have very strong capabilities on R&D side, which we can build here in India by sort of having people from the orthopedic space come and join us and help the team in Italy to develop products much faster and also develop products for the Indian market. Secondly, I think clearly the fact that we have a global distribution network already, CTFE could leverage that to get into markets where they don't have presence today. And thirdly, with time, there are obviously areas in manufacturing side by moving some parts of the processes to India, which will make them competitive.
Okay. And can you tell us the pricing of product and on
Sorry?
Average anything? Pricing of the products of this
So we don't see product pricing, Karan.
Okay. So combine this CTFE and one more acquisition you've done.
Yeah.
So overall blended growth, you are seeing 20-22%.
You mean for polymer?
Yeah. What was the guidance?
I mean, I think guidance, so I think we've guided for the three businesses separately. Polymer, we have obviously guided, given the guidance for the polymer organic business, in the Q1 call as well. We think that, on the Pendra Care, we had mentioned that the asset could grow in high single digit to low double digit, on its own, currently. And we expect similar kind of growth profile for even this asset. Currently, we haven't accounted for the synergies that will happen. I think it's early to give guidance on how the synergies will help, overall, revenue growth. But, over the course of next few quarters, we'll come back to you.
Okay. Just one last question on this. If I may ask on Pendra Care in this call?
Okay, one is we can ask one.
Okay. So, here, just wanted to know the size of the opportunity of this cardiology, your products, catheters, as you mentioned in your orthopedic man. Yes.
You want to know what's the total global market size of cardiology catheters?
Yeah.
I think each, both diagnostic and guiding catheters put together, each segment is about $1.5 billion each. Global market.
Okay. What? Sorry, I think I missed it.
It's $1.5 billion for diagnostic and $1.5 billion for guiding.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jaiveer Shekhawat from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for taking my question, and congratulations to you, Mr. Gautam, and also to Mr. Baid and family as well for the acquisition. First, on the acquisition, could you first specify these devices, are these Class III devices as per FDA classification? And also, since you mentioned there is a direct presence in the U.S., so are these products empaneled with all the top GPOs there, like Vizient, Premier, or HealthTrust? If you could clarify on that, that'll be my first question.
Yeah. So these are Class IIb products in Europe and USA. These are not Class III products. And no, so this is currently our products are being sold through the direct sales reps that we have. So we don't have contracts with the GPOs there, but our own team or, what is called as 1099 agents in the U.S., those are the people who are distributing those products to trauma centers and hospitals in the U.S.
Okay. So just for my better understanding, because ideally I was under the impression that most of the procurement in U.S. would have happened through these large GPOs, and it's possibly top four, five, which control majority of the procurement. So are you directly going on to the hospitals with the sales rep, or in a way, does that get supplied to GPOs and which in turn supplies to those hospitals?
So, your understanding that the entire business happens through GPO is not correct. Obviously, you have medical devices companies who have direct sales reps, like the way we have in India, where people are going directly through their own sales team to go talk to the stakeholders. Similar model also exists in the U.S. Obviously, you have large GPOs operating in the U.S. of the names that you've taken. But, like the way CTFE has direct sales team, which is going and talking to hospitals and surgeons, and are present in the OTs as well when the surgery is going on, that's important to understand. businesses have their own reps going talking to hospitals and surgeons.
Sure, sure. That's great to know. And what does that mean for Polymedicure in a way? Because, I mean, given that you've also been trying to go via the 510K approval route, if you already have a direct sales force, could there be synergies in terms of you selling more of consumables that you have been manufacturing via the same channel?
It's very, very different segments. It's like asking equity guys to sell commodities. It's very similar. You can't have orthopedic guy going selling infusion therapy.
What I meant was, since you already have tied up with hospitals there and you have a direct sales team force, and at the end of the day, if the brand, the house of brands remains Polymedicure.
You will go to hospitals where, surgeons are fixing broken bones. And the agent and the sales rep is going talking to the surgeon and talking about the products, right? It's impossible for a orthopedic sales rep to go and say, okay, I'm going to come and sell you IVCET. It's very different.
Sure, that's well understood. Lastly, I just want to understand, because this acquisition in the entire history sort of forays into a very different segment. I think most of the other ones, of course, there have not been too many. But I think even the Italy acquisition, even the one that happened on PendraCare as well, these were related consumables. So how is the management promoter thinking in terms of, building or say thinking of acquisition going forward in terms of which areas, therapeutic areas, and then what is open to us or what is not open to us? I think that's where I wanted to more get clarity on.
I think, on the M&A strategy, which we have said in the past, that we want to obviously stick to the medical devices and we'll stick to the adjacencies of the medical devices. We have also very clearly called out that there are certain segments which are very exciting for us. And we've been obviously investing in those segments over the course of the last 5 years. And these are all effectively driven by the disease burden pattern, right, that's been evolving over the course of the last few years. So we've entered into renal, we've entered into cardiology, we've entered into critical care and now orthopedics. If you look at the overall patient pool and the growth of patient pool in these segments is obviously faster than the overall medical devices. So to that extent, we are picking up segments where the underlying demand is quite high and the growth is higher than the overall industry. I wouldn't say that we have said, okay, we don't want to get into any space. We'll obviously evaluate each opportunity on its own merit. But given the fact that we've done two acquisitions just now, we would want to pause and absorb these at the moment and then sort of get back to potential opportunities in the future.
So that's very clear. Thank you so much, and bye.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Harsh Shah from Marcellus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Rahul. So in the previous acquisition that we did, there was some incentivization for the top management where the stake was supposed to be bought after a few years down the line, and there's some milestone based payment as well, depending on how the numbers are in CY29. So similar to that, how are we incentivizing or retaining the top management team, or is there a top milestone based payment here as well?
So that's an excellent question, obviously, as you rightly said, in PendraCare, we had a different situation because one of the founder was the CEO as well. So he had an equity stake in the company already, and we incentivized through milestone payments as well as earn-out payments over the course of next 4 to 5 years to keep them motivated to build the business with Polymed Group. It's a slightly different situation in case of CTFE, where a professional management has been running the business for over 6 years now. We've created a sort of an incentive structure or a payout structure which incentivizes short-term performance but also sort of creating a long-term incentive plan which is basically linked to the delivery of the business and financial performance over the course of next 5 years. So, you know, we have very clearly defined targets, and on achievement of those targets, there is an incentive link payout that which is variable in nature, completely variable in nature, which will be paid out to the key managerial team of CDIB.
Okay, got it. And from Polymed side, can you give some insights on who will be looking after these two acquisitions? There's a concern in my mind that have we bitten off more than we can chew here?
So, I mean, I think we're creating a group of people, I mean, who will be responsible for integration. You know, we are in the mix of finalizing what that executive committee will look like. But we will obviously have, you know, representation from different functions being part of that group to drive individual synergies which have been decided, either it's on the sales side or on the manufacturing side, on the R&D side. Obviously, under the overall leadership of Himanshu and Rishi, and that's how we're thinking about it. We are in the mix of preparing that structure, and at the right time, we'll update you guys.
Okay, got it. And my third question was with respect to adding the plates as a product portfolio, which seems like a pretty low-hanging fruit here, and as you said, that in various public centers, the both of us go hand in hand. So just want curious that why didn't the previous management themselves add this product?
Sorry, I can understand you well. Can you repeat your question, actually?
Yeah, hi. So I was asking that you alluded that the immediate priority is to add plates as a product segment, because in various public tenders, plates as well as nails go hand in hand. So my question was that why didn't the previous owners themselves add plates as a product portfolio?
I mean, I'll take a guess at it because honestly it was their choice, but I think you know, this Archimedes, who's the majority owner of this company, had invested in this company in the year 2014. I think we all know that typically private equities have a holding period of 5 years. Now, in this situation, in the holding period obviously went quite long, it became almost 10 years. And maybe they had fund constraints because of which they were not able to provide, you know, large amount of capital. They obviously supported the business by providing incremental capital. And maybe that was the reason, because see, if you think about it, to add a plates as a product is a significant investment. You will have to have multiple SKUs, need to create inventory, obviously then identify the products. So it's a significant investment. I'm assuming that was the primary reason that, you know, they decided to not invest in the space.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to register for a question, you may press star and then one. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Vishal Manchanda from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I just have one follow-up. Can you share what is the total investment that has gone into the company so far in total equity and borrowings?
Yeah, so their net worth is about $16.5 million, and on top of that you add another 8 plus 4, 12 million. So it's about 28, 29 million, say about 30 million of total investment.
Got it. Thank you. Okay, that's all.
Thank you. Participants, if you would like to register for a question, please press star and then one now. To register for a question, please press star and one.
Okay. Sagar, we wait for 30 seconds. If there are no further questions, we can...
Sure. Okay. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Gautam for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining on the call. Appreciate your time. This transaction is the continuation of our inorganic strategy, where we have very clearly stated that in segments which are high technology or gives us access to sort of key markets of Europe and US, has been part of our core inorganic strategy, and last two transactions have clearly demonstrated that. We are excited to have CTFE as part of the Polymed Group and very excited to build a solid orthopedic business across the world using that as a platform. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you. On behalf of Polymedicure Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.